Accession number 12371, wheel 17.
I think it is fair to say that our sympathy is probably lent more toward the Arabs. Possibly because they were in the majority at the time, and it was felt that the setting up of a Jewish state might start the troubles that in fact have been with us for this last 40 odd years. But all the airfields were heavily defended, all the aircraft were withdrawn inside barbed wire cantonments. If one left the base at all, you had to be in at least twos, if not more. But even then, people were being shot. And it was really a most uncomfortable place to be based. My experience of Palestine was really as a visitor. I made several visits to Palestine for a variety of reasons. But one could see from the people who were actually stationed there that the pressure on them was considerable. Once the war had broken out between the Arabs and the Jews, as they were originally, until Israel was established in May 1948, the British decided that they were going to pull out. Just before this, quite an interesting little incident occurred. During the war, we'd had a base at Aqaba, which is at the head of the Gulf of Aqaba, famous, of course, for Lawrence of Arabia. In those days, the considerable town of Eilat was not there. That's the Jewish seaside resorts that is there today, but it was non-existent in those days. The only habitation was a comparatively small village come town of Aqaba. We'd had an airfield there. It was just a strip, really. I was at this time on the Middle East Joint Planning Staff, and it was suggested that we might think of reopening Aqaba as a base. So myself, a brigadier whose name I cannot now remember, and a colonel whose name one couldn't really forget because it was John Hunt of Mount Everest fame, now Lord Hunt. The three of us, he was a lieutenant colonel in those days, we set off in an Oxford flown by me, and we flew to Aqaba with the object of doing a reconnaissance. We were going to be met by the Arab Legion and introduced to some of the local dignitaries. We landed on the strip, the old strip, which is at the opposite side of the Gulf to the actual town of Aqaba. So we were probably some 3 miles from the town. We landed, we got out, and there was no sign of any Arab Legion. Well, there was no sign of anybody. We were in the middle, virtually, of the desert. The head of the Gulf was a matter of a couple of hundred yards away, and so we were surrounded by areas of sort of brush and bushes of different sorts. Well, we waited a while and nothing happened, so we decided we'd better start walking towards Aqaba. And we thought, well, the easiest thing to do is to go down on the beach and walk around by the beach, because then we won't get lost. Well, I can't emphasize how isolated the place was. There was nothing. Nothing was moving. It was a bright sky, just desert. The water from the Gulf was just, it was, I assume, was non-tidal, because it was just sort of lapping on the shore. It was a nice, peaceful scene with Aqaba in the distance in the haze. The three of us started to walk along the beach when all of a sudden, out of the bushes on the left, stepped a lady in a flower-coloured bathing dress, which was just about the last thing we expected to see at that particular moment. Well, of course, this turned out to be the wife of a friend of mine. And what had happened was that this friend, a chap called Waterhouse, Dick Waterhouse, known to all and sundry as Closet, he was on the staff of AHQ Palestine. And it appears that when Lawrence was in the Middle East, he had either built or had built a wooden hut at the head of the Gulf of Aqaba. And when he left the Middle East, he gave it as a leave facility to the headquarters that was in Palestine at that time. And so this hut was now a leave centre, and Dick Waterhouse and his wife and small child were using it for a bit of holiday. You just had four walls and a roof and a floor. You had to bring everything else with you. And having got over the shock of meeting Mrs. Waterhouse, who was a Canadian, she then took us along to the hut, where we met up with her husband, a Welshman who ran the fishing apparently in Aqaba and was dressed up as an Arab, and shortly to be joined by the Arab Legion officer who had been supposed to meet us. So that was quite an interesting little experience. We went on and we met the dignitaries we were supposed to meet. And we then flew on to Amman and did some more consulting there, and eventually we flew back to Egypt. But when the British decided to withdraw from Palestine, they were to withdraw northwards, exiting through Haifa, the port of Haifa. There were a variety of incidents that happened during this time, but the only one I was involved in was when I flew up to the only airfield we then occupied, called Ramat David, which was not far from Haifa. and on which was number 208 Fighter Reconnaissance Squadron, which until recently had been at Fide, down in the Canal Zone. I flew up in a Spitfire 18 and I landed at Ramat David and went and saw the station commander. While I was with him, there was a loud banging and crashing, and to the experienced ear, it was clear that we were under attack. Well, it turned out we'd been attacked by an Egyptian Spitfire squadron. They had destroyed a Dakota, killed its pilot, a warrant officer, and had so badly damaged my Spitfire that clearly I was not going to be flying it back to Egypt. The CO of 208 Squadron asked the station commander if he could put up a standing patrol in case these ships came back again. The station commander agreed, and sure enough, some while later, I can't remember quite how long, back they came. I think I'm right in saying that the whole lot were shot down, and I think that the 208 squadron got 7 of them, and I think the guns got the others. Not long after that, an Egyptian Air Commodore arrived. And after prostrating himself before the station commander and apologizing in most profuse terms for the terrible mistake that his aircraft had made, thinking it was a Jewish airfield, he then asked the station commander if he would use his good offices with the British government and replace the aircraft we'd shot down. The funny thing is that I don't remember how I got back to the Canal Zone.